Did you always know that it would be music for you?
I never gave it a second thought. It's just been very natural. It just sort of got into me.
This is the Jeff Buckley Grace Around the World podcast. On this episode, we hear from Jeff Buckley himself, taken from a November 1994 interview with Much Music.
I love jazz, and I garnered a lot of love of improv from things like Duke Ellington and Miles and arrangement and pacing. Basically, all that music comes from moving people in a live setting. Live meaning not on television, live meaning not on the radio, live meaning you are there, there are some people there in a performance space, and they are moving the hell out of you. It creates a certain kind of experience. It creates a certain kind of writing.
It's been such a long time, and I was just a child then. What will you say when you see my face? Time, it feels like it's flown away. The days just pass and fade away. What will you say when you see my face? It's funny now.
For a long time, death and rock and roll, to some people, have been somehow synonymous. No, I'm not doing
this. Because most of the good people are dead.
But there's so much about music that is life-affirming.
Yeah, sure. Just its identity alone is totally life-affirming, completely.
That's complex to me. There's something interesting to me about that.
Well, that's because we live in a culture that kills artists, wants them to die. It kills them.
Wants them to make the sacrifice?
Yeah, you know, it's like people who talk poetically or act and express are totally devalued. It's like women are devalued and their femininity, that everything that brings with the flow, the understanding, the intuition, not like knowing facts, but just understanding things, just somehow. That's very, very extremely devalued. It's the seat of all art. It's the seat of all artistic expression. And I say that that is the cabin slave of the world.
But I'm not sure about that, even when you say that. Well, okay, you say that perhaps it kills artists, and that artists are devalued, and people who have the courage to bare their souls and to be poetic in public and to say, I care about something, I'm passionate about something, they also get eulogized. They also get followed down the street, or people swarming you.
And sure.
So,
but never either adored or damned, but never really understood. Because people sometimes throw a light. They let these artists carry a light that they refuse to carry for themselves sometimes. And I've done it, and I will do it. You know, you meet somebody, you admire them, like, oh, I can't do that. I'm nothing like him. I'm so bad. You know, I'll still do it. But it's just a human thing. But, I mean, it's why they killed Jesus. I mean, why do you stick a man on a stick? Why? Why? Why have... Because he's supposedly the Messiah. Why do you inflict such cruelty? What is it that you're getting away from? What is it that you're denying? What is it that you're trying to kill?
Well, in his case, he was not a special case. That was just the torture of the day.
I know, he's the only one that we remember. And for some reason, he's remembered as being on the cross. He's not seen as like this beautiful young man with a lot of understanding. He's always martyred. He will always be bleeding for all eternity.
Yeah, but we could talk about that for 2 hours because that has a lot to do with...
It's the same thing with artists. Same thing. Same exact thing. It's the same exact thing. I mean, I feel it and I wish I could explain it better. And I'll tell you this. Everybody knows what it's like to create an artistic moment. So-called artistic moment, because it's really just heightened humanism. It's just a heightened human language. If you've spent a night making love, you know exactly what it means to strip your ego down, where you are there expressing yourself wordlessly, collaborating on a moment that has an energy about it that is replenishing or even completely inspirational in a way you could never imagine. And that's the way art really is. Or if you've raised a child, that is an artistic venture, baby. You solve problems. You express yourself to the kid. You feed your soul to the kid, or else he or she doesn't. You know, they get you. Then that's art. That's an artistic moment. Everybody has done it. Everybody will do it. It's not just musicians. It's like those abusive parents that adore the oldest child but also give them the worst of their behavior. That's sort of like what artists get. And I'm prepared to get it. But I'm just saying that you don't have to feel left out. It's like, you know what it's like. It just culminates in music for me. I think people are divine and eternal. I think that people live on many, many different levels. You know, see things, understand things. In a way, yes, we're totally mortal, and I don't even know what this is. I don't even know what that is. This flesh thing, or this earth thing, I don't know. But I'm finding out all the time.
It's packaging.
I guess so. Sometimes I think it's just a dream that your soul had in order to reach out to people and to kiss or dance or something, you know. I'm not so sure that some guy in the sky with a beard baked you in an oven and put his finger in your belly button and that's how you came about. I think this, I don't know. It's all arbitrary, but I don't go for gurus. I don't relish the idea of people kissing the foot of a yogi somewhere in an ashram in order to achieve enlightenment. I mean, learning is great, and learning from people who know more than you, that's fine, but I just come from a long, I come from a culture that sort of is prone to giving itself up to some sort of desperate trend, you know. And I don't believe in it. But I believe in people, and I believe in their divinity. I believe in the divinity of nature, totally. And the order of things, and the many, many, many systems that make up chaos and all that stuff, and I love it. I observe I sort of gather the nectar from all religion, but I really don't wholly trust in man's organization of God. My love of experience does sort of take me into all kinds of misadventure, but and now that I'm older, you know, that stuff hardly happens at all. But people assume a lot of things about you, especially if you're signed, especially if people assume you're famous. That's a big myth. and the people who are... I'm not even famous. You know, I'm more famous than I've ever been in my life. It's really shocking.
But how do you feel about that? How are you taking to fame?
It will go away. It'll settle down. And I don't mind being known for something. Because I've gone to a lot of places. I don't mind being known, because you know, it's a mass art what I'm doing. Making something that goes into tons of people's homes. It's like when you make movies. It's a mass art. Lots of people come. Boom. Or even live plays.
Television. Whatever.
Yeah, television. Totally mass. You know, so that's just part of the. It's part of the palette, and I don't mind. It's just the nature of the beast. But being famous without content, that really irks me. And I would never want it to happen to me. And, it's a very media-heavy time. There are lots of successes that go down simply because things are known and things are on the television and shoved down your throat. I mean, you know, Bobain used to write a good song and they'd just run it into the ground. even want to hear it anymore. You couldn't hear it anymore from pure heavy rotation. And that hurts. You know, it's like something beautiful comes, and then after a while, because it's being fed, force-fed to you all the time, for lack of any better procedure on the TV, and you don't want to hear it anymore. That's a little death. That's really good. It's crappy.
Secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, and the major lift. The baffled king composing.
What does grace mean to you?
Everything that the word carries. Grace is what matters in anything, especially life, especially growth, tragedy, pain. Love, death. About people, that's what matters. That's a quality I admire very greatly. It keeps you from reaching for the gun too quickly. It keeps you from destroying things too foolishly. It sort of keeps you alive. And it keeps you open for more understanding. You know, people say grace for dinner, and God is great, God is good. You know, that, but I see an invocation when I hear that word. And also, it's like the sound of it. You know?
So saying the word grace invokes a state of grace?
It could, yeah.
Say it now. Let's see if we can invoke a state of grace.
Hey, don't make me invoke a state of grace here in this room. But the song itself is just it's an elegy to no one. About I always describe it as, you know, not fearing anything, anyone, any man, any woman, any war, any gun, any sling or arrow aimed at your heart by other people, because there is somebody finally who loves you for real, and that you can achieve a real state of grace through somebody else's love in you, you know, when you're totally out of fuel and totally out of understanding. So I said it. It's a song about my death, but not fearing it.
In the stay long enough for the clouds to fly me away. But it's my time coming, I'm not afraid to die. My fading voice sings of love.
For more information on Jeff Buckley and Grace Around the World, visit jeffbuckley.com. Thanks for listening.